talked to someone one time about things that are going on in high school. I could not believe the things that kids are talking about in school today. I preface that by saying this. There are those today, young people, old people, they boast in the shameful things that they do.
Why do you run from me? I just don't understand. I'm reaching out for you. You won't take my hand.
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn.
Hello and welcome, everyone. We want to get right into the study today and join Pastor Bill for the conclusion to the message, Large Letters, from the New Testament Epistle of Galatians.
I prayed this morning and said, oh Lord, this is deeper than I understand. It's holier than I understand. And it's so much needed in our generation more today than ever before. Look at it again. It's a contrast between what the Judaizers were doing and what he was doing. They wouldn't suffer for Christ. They didn't preach the cross. He says, but God forbid, may it never be that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. We live in a world that is so full of boasting. It's almost like the world is possessed by boasting. People boast about how much, well, their education, or look at my body today, or whatever it might be, loved one, their possessions and money and whatever. I hear people, I talked to someone one time about things that are going on in high school. I could not believe the things that kids are talking about in school today. I preface that by saying this. There are those today, young people, old people, they boast in the shameful things that they do. Paul says, no. The Bible says in Jeremiah 9:23, the Lord said this, thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man boast in his wisdom, and let not the mighty man boast in his might, nor let the rich man boast in his riches, but let him who boasts or glories in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord, exercising loving kindness and judgment and righteousness in the earth. For these I delight in, saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, if you want to boast about anything in this life, boast that you know me. Tell people that you know God. Tell people that you know Jesus Christ, is what he's saying. John Stott, who has now gone home with the Lord, a great theologian and writer, pastor, and so forth there in England, I believe it was. He said this about that word, boast. He said, there is no exact equivalent in the English language. It means to glory in. It means to trust in, rejoice in, revel in, live for. The object of our boast fills our horizons. It engrosses our attention and absorbs our time and energy. In one word, our boast is our obsession. That was Paul's obsession with Christ on the cross. Amen? Think about that. Oh, the large letters that Paul penned, I pray they are his large letters enter our heart. That our only boast, the only thing that we care about and boast about is Jesus Christ and him crucified. Amen? And we say, oh, Lord, you're so good. Listen, I'm going to ask you a question. Had God used me the way he used Paul, I'd be on every Christian TV network in town. I'd have 20 books published already. Not really, but you know what I mean. Did Paul have much to boast about? Well, he was a Hebrew of Hebrews. He was taught by Gamaliel. He was one of the most educated men on the planet at that time. He was faultless, blameless in the law, except for one thing, covetousness. That broke him. Loved one, listen to me. Paul, did he have something to boast about? He was saved by Jesus Christ, him, the resurrected, risen, ascended Jesus Christ himself on the road to Damascus, wasn't he? Whenever he was saved, where did he go? We learned in Galatians, he went out into Arabia. He was there for 3 years, and who taught him personally the gospel? Jesus did himself. By how? By revelation. Paul the apostle, did he, here's a little sweat rag, it cast out demons, heals the sick, whatever. Did Paul the apostle, did he raise the dead, cast out demons? Yes, loved one. How about this one? He was caught up into the third heaven, paradise, heaven, where God is. Heard unexpressible things, things he could not even utter. Did he have something to boast about? What's interesting in this passage is Paul closes out with large letters. And don't take this the wrong way, but Paul, he didn't say that he boasted in Christ. But you know that he loved Jesus with all of his heart. Amen? He didn't say that, though. He said that he boasted in the cross of Christ. I mean, he could have said, you know, he could have used the Savior's birth, but he didn't. He could have used the resurrection. He didn't. He could have used Christ's ascension, but he didn't, or even the second coming. Paul, listen to me now. Paul rejoiced in, gloried in, relied upon, lived for his one great, totally obsession. He said, God forbid, let it never be. God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who was made sin for us. The Lamb of God. I look at that and I say, oh Lord, did you know that the cross, if you're a Christian, listen carefully, loved one, and you are Christians, but listen, the cross removes every person's, we have no reason to boast. Amen? Listen to what it says in Romans 3:25. Paul writes, it says, whom God set forth as a propitiation by his blood, speaking of Jesus when he was publicly displayed there on Calvary's hill when he died for the sins of the world. It says he did so through faith to demonstrate his righteousness because in his forbearance, God has passed over the sins that were previously committed, meaning way before the cross, to demonstrate at this present time his righteousness, that he might be the just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Listen to what Paul says now. Where is boasting then? Well, it's excluded. By what law? Of works? No, but by the law of faith. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith apart from the deeds or the works or the actions of the law. How powerful is the cross of Christ? It goes all the way back to Adam when Jesus paid for the sins of the world, loved one. Every sin that could ever be committed, past, present, future, Jesus paid the sin debt of the entire world. Who gets the credit for our salvation? Us? No, not at all. Listen, it's God's work from start to finish. Loved one, we have nothing. Nothing to boast about. Oh, he's a great teacher, preacher, elder, deacon, Sunday school. No. What do you have that you did not freely receive in Christ? No, we have nothing to boast about except one thing, the cross. When you go out there and look at the cross, remember the one who hung on it for you. Amen? That's all we can brag about. That's all we can glory in is what Christ has done for us. The greatest lie from the devil and every false cult in the world is this, that you can earn salvation or you can work your way up to be acceptable to the God or the thrice holy God. Paul's entire world revolved around the cross of Christ. He was totally obsessed with that. Did you know it's today, see, we're so far removed from Paul's day that our culture, our thinking, our words, our vocabulary, everything was so different then. Did you know you did not in polite Roman society, you wouldn't even mention the word cross. It was a shameful word. It was a disgusting word. Matter of fact, listen to New Testament scholar F.F. Bruce. I love what he said. He said, the Roman citizen regarded the cross as an object of shame, disgrace, disgust. Oh, it was even too shameful to whisper. In order to get around this difficulty, the Romans devised a euphemistic phrase, hang him on the unlucky tree. Why? They could not say that word. They hated that word. It was a horrible death, a shameful death, a criminal's death. Oh, listen, today, what have we done? We've exchanged the cross for a piece of jewelry that hangs around our necks instead of taking up the cross and following Jesus Christ. Oh, loved one, listen. Paul said, for me to live is not fame. It's not money. To me, to live is only one thing, Paul said. For me to live is Christ He says, Paul, look at it again, verse 14. He says about the cross, and then he says this, by whom the world has been crucified to me, and I to the world. Now, what world is Paul the apostle speaking of here? That word world in the Greek is the word cosmos, okay? We get our word cosmetics from the word cosmos because cosmetic means to cover up, you know, to cover up, right? Literally, it means this, to cover up disorder, to cover up disorder with something that brings order, okay? That's what that word means. So we live in a world. Paul lived in a world. Boy, did they have a gray cosmetics, the devil he uses on this world. He makes the world acceptable. He makes all the things of the world. Oh, yeah, this is what you need. He wants you to live for the world. He wants you to love the world and love the things of this world. Loved one, listen, the world here, the word cosmos is always used in the New Testament speaking of the world that doesn't want God. In other words, Satan's satanic system, if you will, his form of government, you know, where God is not wanted, where God is not needed. You know, the Bible tells us the Christian's position. In 1 John 5:18, it says this, for we know that whoever is born of God, born again, whoever it might be, whoever is born of God does not sin. In other words, does not practice an ongoing habitual life of sin and hates God and all those things. But he who is born of God keeps himself, the wicked one does not touch him. Now listen to the world's position, this fallen world. And we know, it says, that we are of God. And the whole world lieth in the sway, the arms, the cradle of the wicked one, of the devil. We know those things, loved one. Listen, the world, the devil is rocking this world to sleep. That's what he wants. He doesn't want anyone to come to Christ Jesus. And Paul says, but God forbid again, I should boast not except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world has been crucified to me, and I to the world. Those are large letters. He's telling the Judaizers, he's telling the Galatians. He said, I want you to know something. I'm crucified. Not only am I crucified with Christ, I've been crucified with this world. What does he mean? He says, I'm dead to this world. I'm dead to the system of this world. I don't live for a world where Jesus is not desired or wanted or believed in. Amen? The same world that we live in today. Paul says, I don't love the world. I love the one who died for the world. The one who died upon the cross. John 1:29, behold the Lamb of God who taketh away the sin of the what? The world. Oh, church, listen. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. We have now been translated out of the power of the kingdom of darkness. We are illegal immigrants on this planet. Do you understand? Well, our citizenship is now in heaven. The Bible says, be not conformed or fashioned. Be not conformed to this world, but transformed by the renewing of your mind. Paul said, are we crucified to the world or are we conformed to the world? That's something we need to ask ourselves. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision uncircumcision contributes anything, availeth anything, contributes anything to being saved. Those are works. It has nothing to do. Only thing that matters, Paul says, is a new creation. I can see those large words that Paul writes. Do you think he might have stretched that new creation a little larger? Is there anything more glorious than knowing that when Jesus died on the cross, he died so we could become a new creation where old things have passed away? All things become new. Therefore, if anyone be in Christ, in a person, in the founder of Christianity, all that he is, we are in him. As he is, so are we in this world right now, present tense. I look and I say, oh, Lord, you are so good to me. A new creation. All those old things, severed and broken, Satan has no, he can't touch me. Tempt me, but not touch me. Old things have passed away. I'm severed from Adam forever. Can never go back into Adam. I'm a new creation. The word new creation means never existed before. That's the new birth. Old things are passed away. All things become new. We are now the children of God. We're co-heirs with Christ. We are seated with Christ Jesus in the heavenlies. Amen. We're filled with the Spirit of God. We're the sons, the daughters of the living God. I look and I say, oh, Lord, all because of the cross. And he says, as many as walk according to this rule, peace, mercy be upon them, meaning to the believing Gentiles, and upon the Israel of God as well. Now, listen, that's a whole nother sermon, the Israel of God. That has nothing to do with this talking to Jewish believers now. It's not talking about, okay, the church has replaced Israel, that replacement theology. That's not true at all. God's covenant with Israel is an everlasting covenant. Amen? That's right. So he says, according to this rule, meeting the rule of faith, that the only way a person can be saved is by faith alone, grace alone, through Christ alone. There's no other way. Now, man may refuse that. You can refuse it, but you can't change it. There is no other way to be saved. Now, look what Paul says. From now on, he writes, let no one trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ. Marks only here in the New Testament, stigmata, the prints. He says, I bear them in my body. What's he talking about? He's talking about his scars for Christ. You go back, and I don't have time to teach it, but you go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 11, I believe it starts in about verse 23. Read all that Paul went through for the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, in Paul's day, only three people received marks. They were runaway slaves, they were soldiers who loved their commander, and those who worshiped in the temple idols like goddesses or whatever. They would literally brand their name on them. Paul says, I'm a slave, doulos in the Greek. My will is now swallowed up in the will of another. I'm a slave of Christ. I'm a soldier of Christ. There are my scars. You look at my body. He said, I am scarred for our Lord Jesus Christ. He says, oh, you see what large letters that I have written to you with my own hand. These words, loved one, listen to me, that in that verse 11, they are filled with emotion that I cannot teach. They're filled with the deepest caring love that we do not have in our hearts, or we don't let out of our hearts. He tells those people, he says, all you have to do is read my body. Just look at me. I want you to just look at my scars. He says, those who are deceiving you, they bear marks. Yeah, they bear the marks of the law of Moses, meaning the law. Works, effort, trying to earn God's love, earn God's favor. He says, I don't bear those marks. I used to. He says, no, I bear the marks of my Savior, marks of grace. I'll do anything for him, go anywhere for him. I bear his marks. That's what Paul is saying. He writes in 2 Corinthians 4:10, Paul says, you know, I'm always carrying about in my body the dying of the Lord Jesus Christ, that the life of Jesus may be manifested in our body. That's the Paul that I like. I love that guy. G. Campbell Morgan said something. He said this, it is the crucified man that can preach the cross, said Thomas, except I shall see his hands, the print of his nails, I will not believe. Campbell Morgan writes, Dr. Parker of London said that Thomas said of Christ, the world is saying about the church, and the world is saying to every Christian, unless I see in your hands the print nails, I will not believe. And he says, it is true. It is the man, and I add, or the woman, who has died with Christ that can preach the cross of Christ. All people are marked. Paul said, I have his marks, the Lord's marks. But every person on earth, they're marked. We bear either the mark of Christ or the mark of the wicked one. There's no neutral ground there, loved one. No, listen, there is one coming. We're going to be gone, I pray. There's one coming that's going to give the world a mark, isn't he? He's called the Antichrist. What is the mark of our Lord, loved one? It's very simple, isn't it? That we should walk even as he walked. Amen? 1 John 2:6. Yes, that we be changed from glory to glory to glory into what image? The image of Christ. That's how we bear His likeness. He says, brethren, the grace, he closes with that word that Judaizers hate. He says, brethren, the grace, not legalism, not the law of Moses, the unmerited, unconditional, unearned, divine favor of the living God. He says, brethren, the grace of our Lord Jesus be with your spirit. Amen. That word means, as you already know, it means so be it. Big letters, large letters, meaning there's no more for me to say. May I say, I have more to say. Yes, I have more to say. And they're large letters. Listen to me now. I say this with love. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord, why not? Why not? You know, if a person doesn't boast in the cross of Christ, to not boast in the cross of Christ, do you know what's left for that person? Philippians 3:18 calls them the enemies of the cross. An enemy of the cross is a member of this world that is falling apart, a member of this world where Christ is denied, God is denied, the Bible is mocked and laughed at, a world where Jesus is neither needed or wanted. You know, enemies of the cross never do, Luke 9:23. Jesus said, if anyone desires to come after me, let him take up his cross daily and follow me. Deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. So whose mark do you bear this morning? I mean, someone owns you. By simple faith, Jesus can own you. Isn't that amazing? By just simply believing in our hearts. The Bible says in Romans 5:8, but God demonstrates his own love, proves his own love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You know what that says? Let me give it to you in God's large letters. Large letters. It's like God is saying, my son died for you. What will you do with him? What will you do with my son? And God says in big letters, large letters, a person's answer determines their eternal destiny. Father, we thank you for this day, for this incredible epistle. And for Paul, that you used to write it. Oh, God, I love your word. I love you. I pray now in this chapel, in our early service, Lord, with every head bowed, every eye closed, if Jesus Christ is not your Lord, you're not marked by him. You're marked by someone else. You have the opportunity right now to come to Christ. You say, Bill, how do I do that? If you want to turn to the Lord right now, just stay in your seat. Don't get out of it. But simply lift your hand. Put it up high and then put it right. Yes, God bless you. And put it right back down. Anyone else say, Bill, that's me. I want Jesus to mark me. I want Jesus to save me now. Right this minute. Anyone else? Yes, God bless you. I see that. Anyone else before I close? You that lifted your hands, listen carefully to me. I want you to pray this prayer with me right now. Church, I want you to help me. Say, Father, I come to you right now in the greatest name in all the universe, Jesus Christ. I want to be marked. I want to be owned. I want to be saved right now. So I confess with my mouth, Jesus, be my Lord. And I believe in my heart that you raised him from the dead. Father, you promise if I confess Christ as Lord and believed in my heart, you would save me. Save me now. For I believe in Jesus' name. I'm saved.
We pray Pastor's study from Galatians has been beneficial to you in your understanding of God's Word. And now, we look ahead to Pastor's next series from the Epistle of 1 Peter. We hope you'll take advantage of this opportunity to go deeper into your understanding of God's Word by tuning in and taking this journey through 1 Peter along with Pastor Bill, beginning tomorrow. So, with that being said, thank you all for listening with us. And until next time, may the Lord bless you. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast,
please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.